Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, this week, it is Kwanzaa, the holiday where African and African-American culture is celebrated. Now, part of that celebration is a focus on the principles of the days of the week-long celebration. And today is day three, the principle of Ujima, meaning collective work and responsibility. Tomorrow, day four, is Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Tonight, we focus on those two principles. We're placing a spotlight on the responsibility to help our communities and businesses grow. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. Be part of this conversation. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight joining us on the phone line is Anika Hobbs. She's the owner of Nubian Human here in the District of Columbia. And Steve Glaudet, president and CEO of Coalition of Nonprofit Housing and Economic Development right here in the district as well. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. How are you celebrating the holiday? And also, your thoughts on that responsibility to help businesses, Black businesses, African-American businesses grow and prosper. Anika and Steve, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Anika, I'm going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on celebrating Kwanzaa, why it is such a memorable time now to celebrate with families and communities, and the importance of learning about the principles of Kwanzaa.
Yeah, so for me, the holiday is, it's a reminder. So the seven principles, Ngozi Saba, such as Ujima, Umoja, Kujijakalia, and so forth, they're a reminder of how we as Black people, African-American people, African descent, how we should work and live all throughout the year. So Kwanzaa is a celebration for families, but, you know, it's, of course, decorating your household, you know, connecting to our ancestors and where we came from. You know, we wear cloth such as kente or Ankara fabric. And it's something that the whole family can join into, which I really love. But it's about giving respect and gratitude to our ancestors. So I think for me, it's so important to learn and understand Kwanzaa because the value of it is something that can continue to resonate throughout the rest of the year and throughout your life in order to do our collective work, build collective economics, and grow together as a people.
And some of those points you've just talked about, you know, we mentioned, or at least I mentioned in the open, about helping to support Black businesses. And that principle today that we're focusing on, right, collective work and responsibility and whether or not there is a responsibility there. Talk about the business that you have in the district right now, and I know you're about to go through some changes with that business. Your thoughts on that responsibility. Do you see the community having a responsibility to support Black businesses?
Oh, completely. Yes, that is the foundation and the backbone of Nubian Human. So if pretty much for us, what we focus on, we sell completely 100% Black-owned and Brown-owned brands. We worked with over 600 brands from about 35 different countries and 6 different continents. We're super, super passionate about economics, along with, you know, creatives living off of their art. But I think the biggest thing is the recycling of, you know, Black dollars in our community. So every time that someone shops at Nubian Human, we recycle those dollars back into those artists who continue to hire Black or Brown creatives, designers, all of those things. So our dollar 100% continuously stays within the community, and not just local community, but also global community as well. So for us, it's all about how do we become a viable model for how we're able to have self-sustainability, if you will, especially in the retail and marketplace.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our conversation tonight focusing on Black businesses, supporting those, the responsibility that we may or may not have, depending on your point of view, as a community in supporting those businesses. Phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. What's your opinion of that? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Are you a small business and looking for the support of the African-American community? Steve Glaude, President and CEO of the Coalition of Nonprofit Housing and Economic Development here in the District of Columbia. Talk to us a little bit about what you guys do for small businesses, especially for small businesses that are Black run. What is needed for those businesses right now in the district and what you can help provide?
There are. Thank you so much. And just real quick, a comment about the principles of Kwanzaa. While I really do think that they are principles that we celebrate, I also think that they're essential principles for us as African Americans to be able to just navigate the demands and actually address some of the supports that we don't have the same access to mm-hmm. as our counterparts in our society. So those principles, I believe, were created to ensure that we maximized our resources and assets, including each other, in trying to support it. So the Coalition for Nonprofit Housing and Economic Development works in three major categories: affordable housing, workforce development, which is jobs, and also small and minority business supports. We do a range of things to support small businesses. We have an Anchor Project initiative, which we co-convene with the Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development. And we are trying to get our universities, health systems, and utility companies to spend more of their dollars with African-American-owned businesses. Over the last 4 years, we've been able to get over 300 African-American businesses up to $247 million in contracts that they previously weren't accessing. To develop the capacity of small businesses, we have a partnership with George Washington University's Graduate School of Business, and we are training and providing graduate-level education to Black-owned business owners in the district. And another partnership with the Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development's office, we are launching a new financing platform that is actually getting district residents to become equity investors in small businesses. It could include family members or neighbors, but also just residents at large. Access to capital for minority businesses, for African-American-owned businesses, is one of the biggest challenges. We work with a network of lenders in the district to provide capital to African-American owned businesses. And then we also, one of the things you said, what do businesses need? Real quickly, one of the things that many minority businesses don't have is just access to the information of what is available to them. The resources that banks provide, government provides, other community-based organizations, and that information is dispersed throughout the district. We will soon be launching a website called smallbizhelp.com, and everything that government, the financial sector, the philanthropic sector, and intermediaries provide to help minority businesses will be housed in one place. I'm surprised how many businesses learn of a service that's available to them and that has been available for years, and they often say, we didn't know that exists. So we're trying to collapse all the information and resources that are available to minority firms in the district in one place so they can do one-stop shopping for what may be available to them.
Well, Steve, why don't you think the businesses know of the information? What is blocking that?
One, I just think, and I think my fellow participant in this call would agree, it takes so much time and energy to run a small business. Many times the owner is either the chef themselves or they're the cashier or they're the clerk. It's just hard for them to connect to systems that have these services. So there's been, over the last couple of years, a concerted effort to really get more information out in order to make stuff available. One of the other things that that we do that I forgot to mention very quickly is in a partnership with Wells Fargo Bank, every December for the last couple of years, we give out to about 10 minority businesses $3,000 business enhancement grants. And we also post up with WHUR in these businesses for a two-hour period. And as a thank you to the customers, we pay their bills as they come through line. And during that time, we distribute information about resources. But I just think that because the resources are so scattered between government, the financial sector, community-based organizations, and intermediaries, it's just hard to know what's available. So D.C. government has a website that has some of that stuff that's available. If you go to our website, you'll see a lot of what's there. But we're going to be relaunching our smallbizhelp.com website. And everything, as much as we can locate, is going to be populated on that website to make it easier for businesses to know what's available to them.
Tonight, our focus is on businesses, black businesses, the responsibility to help them grow and thrive. This under the umbrella of Kwanzaa, which we are celebrating this week. And today is day three. And so we're talking about economics. We're talking about businesses. We're talking about responsibility. Ujima, meaning collective work and responsibility today on day three. Phone lines are open. Are you a small business owner, African-American, African, have a business looking for help, looking for support, have some opinions on the type of support you're getting or not getting? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Anika, Steve had mentioned that, you know, small business owners often have to do a little bit of everything. And I know, I know in your business, you actually make pretty much all of the items, clothing items in your store. Is that right?
We do make a certain percentage of the clothing in our stores, but we work with different artists from all over the world. So they actually make a lot of the clothing themselves and a lot of the product altogether, because we actually have not just clothing, but we have art, beauty products, grooming products, home, houseware, things like that, a lot of accessories. You know, and things that are just amazing for the spirit as well. So, you know, we work with all sorts of artists, but there is a healthy collection that is Nubian Human branded items.
Now you, and so you fill in the blanks here, your actual physical store in D.C., you are closing that and shifting that to online. Is that right? You still have a store in Baltimore, a location in Baltimore? And so what is behind that? Was there not the support that you needed to keep your store open and have to move it online? What can you tell us about that as we talk about a responsibility from the community to support African-American businesses? Was there a lack of that for you and forcing you to go online?
You know, I would say it's quite the opposite. We've had amazing support. You know, the community has been the thing that's really kept me going, even personally, you know, having been through all the different presidencies, you know, COVID, the depressions and recessions and all the things that we've been through. Community has been the thing that's actually sustained Nubian Human the most. So we're actually making this transition because we are looking for another location. Currently, this location is inside of a building. And so we're looking for something a little bit more prominent. We think our artists deserve that opportunity. The spaces that we create and what we offer our community also deserve that as well. And COVID has also had, you know, huge impact on us. You know, it's had an unprecedented challenge. You know, for a lot of black-owned businesses, and has forced me along with some others just to rethink how we approach business and how we approach retail, and even more so how we approach connecting with our community. So, you know, we are least likely to have received government funding, loans, for example. We didn't even have the loans to be forgiven sometimes in the first place, but I think For us, it's time to make a change and kind of advance our business in order to thrive in this new landscape, this new retail landscape. And so there's some really great opportunities that we have on the in the pipeline that we're looking forward to and taking advantage of some of those opportunities. You know, for us, we are celebrating our event tomorrow. So we officially close the doors on December 31st. But for us, it's a celebration, just like our ancestors, right? You know, certain things that other nations or cultures may see as a bad thing, we see this as a half full moment. And so for us, it's allowing us to, you know, we've been in this building for 9 years. So we're looking forward to celebrating just a new chapter. So we're bringing in a lot of the brands that we have actually worked with. A lot of the artists and creatives will also be there as well, just to celebrate that Ujima and Ujamaa spirit. So it's a really exciting time. So, yes, we are closing the doors in our current D.C. location, but we are really going online. We will also continue in our Baltimore store as well, but we'll also be launching an app within quarter one of 2023. So that's going to be one of the really, really special things that we'll have as far as kind of connecting with our community. And we also are launching, we have launched membership programs. So one of the things that Nubian Human is about, it's not just a retail experience, but it's the entire experience. When you come into our store locations, it's disarming. It smells good. It sounds good. It's all of those things that really allow us to connect in our shared experience. And so our app and our membership program is allowing us to continue to keep that going.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking Kwanzaa, we're talking business, we're talking support, we're talking principles. Tonight we want to hear from you. We're going to take a break. The music is playing, but we're going to continue this conversation. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line and that's you, James, stay right there. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR 96.3. Our discussion continues again on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we're talking about the responsibility of all of us in many ways to help our communities and businesses grow, and that's under the umbrella of the celebration of Kwanzaa, which celebrates African and African-American traditions. And so we're talking about businesses and how what we can do to support African-American and African-based businesses here in our communities. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Anika Hobbs, she's the owner of Nubian Human here in the district, and Steve Glaude, he's the president and CEO of the Coalition of Nonprofit Housing and Economic Development based here in the district. James has been waiting patiently on the phone line, so we're going to go to James calling from Germantown. James, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, thank you very much. Happy holiday season.
Same to you.
Yes, I'm a non-profit organization owner, but I'm still zero degree. I'm looking for help, if they can very help me in D.C., because I have some registration, I have all those opportunities, but I need some help.
You need some help in getting your business up off the ground. I want to be sure I understand.
Yes.
Okay.
To take from the ground.
From the ground up. So, Steve, James is one of these folks who's got, you know, an idea in his head, and now he wants to try to make it happen. What direction would you send him, or what kind of advice would you offer James?
I would just say, James, you can connect with me. There's a number of services that we provide to help nonprofits grow. But if something that you need is not something that we do, we know everyone in the ecosystem who supports nonprofits. And I don't want to start rattling off names of organizations, but I would just simply tell you, I'm going to just give you my cell number and tell you to call me. It's 202-375-1991. Call me. I'll learn more about your organization, and I will get you connected to the kind of information and supports that you need.
So, James, did you get that number?
Please.
Say again.
It's possible I can receive one more time, please.
The number?
Yeah. It's 202-375-1991.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much for your call, James. Appreciate it. You know, Steve, very interesting question, you know, from James. It's kind of like, okay, what can I do? How can I get started? And you had mentioned something earlier, and I want to ask Anika about this too. You mentioned the issue of loans. And I'm going to assume the difficulty of many small black businesses in getting loans. Why is that? Are we back to your point about lack of information, lack of resources, or lack of being credit worthy for loans? How would you define it?
It is all of the above. So in some cases, there are both lower interest and better term capital available to small businesses, but many of them don't know. Right now, there is probably a four-tiered lending system that's available to, so it starts with traditional banks, and then you have community lenders, then you have community development financial institutions, and then you even have a level below that. But knowing where you belong or who you need to talk to is a challenge for a business owner. A business owner that is connected to community will run into this information. But a business owner that is just operating their business, it's really hard for them. So in some ways, business owners have to become connected to community beyond their customers, but so they can connect to the support systems that are available. There really is a lot available to help small businesses. All of it is not properly aligned. Like there need to be some newly created lending products that match the current economic conditions that businesses, but I have found that banks and other lenders are willing to learn from businesses. I will say that lenders could probably do a better job of outreach, and they're beginning to, so that they can connect to business owners so they can get the products right. But so getting capital, and you're absolutely right, there are some insurmountable challenges around things like credit. At the end of the day, people, I don't care what institution it is, they're protecting their investments and their money. But there's credit repair services. There are lighter demand lending practices and services. But it just means getting connected to someone who knows where these things are and can connect them to the right service or the right support that the business may need. There's a lot of capital available to small businesses. But it's just a matter of being able to really reach all of the businesses that are in need and that are out there.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about supporting small businesses, the support coming from our community, and we're talking about it in the main or in the area of Kwanzaa, which is celebrating African and African American culture this week. And this is day three of Kwanzaa Ujima, meaning collective work and responsibility. And tomorrow is Ujamaa, cooperative economics. So those two things are kind of running parallel for our conversation tonight. Anika, you had mentioned about, you know, the change and moving online, but still having your store in Baltimore, but still feeling like you had the support here in D.C., though you're making the switch and doing something different with your store in D.C. Can you talk about, is there something that, as a small business owner, as an African-American small business owner, something you might have done differently with your store here in D.C. that might sort of enlighten our listeners and those would-be and current small business owners?
Oh, yeah. And I think it also lends to, you know, what we said a little bit earlier as well. Just even, I would even say as it, as we talk about the opportunities with Black businesses and getting loans, I think for a lot of Black-owned businesses, a lot of time we're a single member or we have a very small team and we're wearing a whole lot of hats. And so one of those huge things is making sure that your books are together. So when, you know, when I first opened my business, I didn't have an accountant. I didn't have my financials in order. I didn't have a bookkeeper. And I couldn't necessarily track where every dollar was going. And so, of course, that doesn't make you credit worthy, right? So if that was something that I had known from the beginning and had just a little bit more of understanding of, you know, just retail or retail accounting or business accounting at all, I think that would have strengthened my foundation a lot more. For me, I was heavy on the retail side. I could get the doors open. I could make the store look great and it functioned. But as a business owner, some of those things were definitely lacking. So I would say for anyone that's starting a business, even thinking about starting a business, of course, for me, the first thing is like start, get going. You learn so much in that process.
So don't try to overthink it too much. You just got to jump in and get going in some ways.
Yeah, you just got to start. I think that's the hardest thing. I think we think about it a lot, and it really causes this like glass ceiling. Just get in there. And I promise you that the road will open and so many opportunities will come with that. And I would say you have to have, and this is the cooperative economics, this you have to have your team with you. You have to invest in having a team with you. And when I say that, I mean you're a strong foundational team. So having a really strong accountant with you is super, super important. And that's you thinking not just for today, but next year, 5 years, 10 years later, when the unexpected comes or the opportunity comes, all of your paperwork is aligned so that you can take advantage of that opportunity. Whatever, you know, social constructs or whatever issues, that's outside of that. But for you yourself as a business owner, you've now made yourself, you know, an option for being getting credit. And so I think that's something that a lot of business owners or new business owners or anybody thinking about getting into business don't really think about. I think we really just focus on the passion or being scared to even start. But get it going and bring the right people with you is tremendously important.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about small Black businesses, how the communities can support them and how they can do that, especially it's a poignant conversation seeing that this is Kwanzaa when we're celebrating African and African-American traditions. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Pam is calling with a question or a comment. Go right ahead, Pam.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Pam Kay, and I just want to tell all of the radio listeners, and especially our business owners and our Black business owners, I've had a business in Prince George's County for 10 years. I actually have a retail style boutique store, which is in Bowie, Maryland. And what I've noticed is our Blacks do not support one another. And it's so sad to say that the most support that I get is from other races. When our people come into my establishment, they want to know first, are we Black owned? And it should not matter whether we're Black owned, Spanish, Caucasian. It doesn't matter. If you want to patronize a business, come in and patronize the business.
But let me ask just real quick, Pam. If they're asking if you're Black owned, I'm just going to assume they're asking because there is more impetus for them to support your business. So isn't that a good thing for you?
No, every person that has came into our staff, and I'm not going to say everyone. Maybe I'm going a little overboard. But for the most part, what I find more, when people come in and ask, are we Black owned, they don't support. They leave.
So you see it as them asking, like, oh, if y'all black owned, I ain't trying to mess around with this business. That's how you see it on that side. Okay, let me just stay on the line though, Pam. Let me ask Steve about that. Steve, you know, this isn't anything new, right? This is going on for years and years and years. There's this stigma even within the black community, like, you know, are black businesses really, you know, up to par? Didn't really have it as much when we didn't have a choice, you know, during segregation, and we supported black businesses because we couldn't go anywhere else. But then once you get integration, you have more choices. There's more infrastructure with businesses that are owned by, you know, whites or large conglomerates. And so now the sense is like, you do a side eye to black businesses. What's your sense of that? Is that still a reality? Is Pam's reality still something that's very prevalent?
So I would say that there are myths and realities to that observation that Pam shared. When we asked our area universities, health systems, and utility companies to consider providing more of their contract opportunities to black-owned businesses in D.C., we faced some of that. And I will tell you, in advocating for African-American-owned businesses with these large institutions, I had to pay close attention to whether what was myth and what was reality. So some of the myth is that if you work with a black business, you will suffer quality and you will suffer costs. And that can be a myth, but it depends on the standard of service that the business owner has. My other guest on here, I don't know her business, but I can tell from listening to her that she has a high standard of service. So no one doing business with her is going to suffer quality or standard of service or standard of treatment, which is part of what we talk about when we say that. I will say that there are some realities to it. My observation is that what a black business owner has to go through to operate oftentimes result in overcoming more obstacles. That sometimes shows itself in the form of fatigue. And then you can see some standards suffer. It is not widespread and it is not universal, but I've experienced that. And part of how we engage our businesses as we're promoting them, our African-American businesses, is just to maintain that standard. And I'm talking about things like opening your store on time, not, you know, habitually 15 minutes or 20 minutes late. You know, just having a standard of service so that people are comfortable. The ones who are looking for a decline in service will be delightfully corrected when they experience this. And then the ones who are hoping to validate their choice by experience that high standard of service, they get it and they see it quickly. So I would say it's more myth than reality. I would say that there are some easy to identify and I frankly think easy correctable solutions for where in fact the reality is there. But I would say it is largely a myth and it is something that has been promoted as a way to detract. But the caller said something that I think is really important that we haven't lifted up, and that is the intentionality of supporting our own businesses. And it's very definable. You know, do you plan to, at the holiday season, to spend all your dollars with black-owned businesses to the degree that you can? Will you drive that extra 12 blocks to go to, you know, a black delicatessen versus, you know, the one that may be a little closer? We need that intentionality in our community because if we don't support us, we certainly are going to struggle getting all of the support that we need from the general population.
Well, Pam, best of luck with your business. I hope things do change in that sense of the support that you feel that you are not getting.
And thank you for that. But I do want to touch on, I just want to say one small thing.
Sure.
I actually had a Caucasian business owner. When I told him where my store was located, he said, "Oh no, you're in the wrong area. Those people are going to haggle you for the price. They're not going to want to pay for the quality that you are offering that you're putting in your store.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my store 45 minutes to 1 hour prior to opening. Mm-hmm. I stay late. So I understand as far as the ethics and how you handle business,
mm-hmm.
How you maintain a quality product. I have all of that.
Yeah, let me ask you real quick before I let you go. Where did he tell you you should be if not in Prince George's County?
Oh, he told me Montgomery County, Rockville Pike,
mm-hmm.
Columbia.
Mm.
He said, no, your clients aren't in Prince George's County. They're going to haggle the price.
Mm-hmm.
And when they know that you are a black entrepreneur / owner, they're going to haggle you for the price. And I hate to say that he was correct. And there are other black owners out here that may not come on the radio and say it, but I know they're restaurant owners. There are quite a few black owners in our region that feel the same way, but they're just not coming forward and saying anything.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to leave you guys with that.
Well, thank you for coming forward, Pam, and furthering our conversation. We appreciate your honesty, and best of luck with your business.
Thank you.
All right.
And
thank you.
All
so
all the black businesses just stick together. That's
all right.
That's all I can tell you.
Thank you. So, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Anika, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of respond to some of the things that Pam has said and whether or not you've had those experiences and what you think of the responsibility of the community for black businesses. This is the Insight segment. It is Kwanzaa. We are celebrating it tonight, and we're also talking about celebrating black businesses and supporting them and whether or not folks feel like there's a responsibility for communities to do that. We're going to be right back right after this quick timeout. The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I am Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Anika Hobbs, you heard what your fellow small business owner, Pam, our last caller, had to say about the lack of support she felt like she was getting from the African-American community, that they pretty much would pick her apart, nickel and dime her. What's been your experience with that? Have you had the same type of experience?
I would say yes, I have had the same type of experience. However, 98% of our customer base are black customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a community that looks like us. It is our job to serve a community, educate a community that looks like us. And so we're super passionate about that. We've made that a model even before saying that we're here to sell you a dress or a shirt or anything like that. Our focus is how do we get opportunities for black-owned brands to be in shelf space? And also how do we educate our community on the products that are in our stores? So I think for what we found is that once your customer understands the value, the time, the tradition, the materials, the ingredients, and all of the hands that have touched this product in order to make it come to fruition, I think there's a different sort of respect for the product, a different sort of respect for the brand and the four walls that they're in. So, of course, you know, you have customers that are always looking for a deal or an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in some ways it can be offensive even to, you know, as a store owner. But I think most of our customers are aware or have become aware of what it takes to actually get that product on the shelf and respect it no matter what it sells for.
And Anika, do you think that there is a responsibility from the community? And, you know, that was sort of in our setup and our lead. And I wanted mm-hmm. to ask you, do you think that there's a responsibility from the community to support black-owned businesses? And, you know, I put the emphasis on responsibility.
Right. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's how we stay in business. I mean, I think if we don't have the support of the local community, then we're not allowed to be the healthy, we're not allowed to be able to build a healthy local economy. So I think that as long as the continued support is there, we're able to thrive. You know, not only do we, you know, just sell there, but more likely to hire in our local community as well. It's super important for folks to be able to leave their home and be able to walk to work. That's an opportunity that a lot of small businesses do provide. You know, and I think also the investment is completely different. When you shop with a small business, it's, you're voting for that brand. You're voting for the longevity of that business. It doesn't go into a huge funnel or a big conglomerate or anything like that. Literally, your dollar allows for the livelihood of, you know, a team, an owner themselves, because, you know, a lot of times we're the first to sacrifice a paycheck so that our, you know, team members, employees can all be paid. But the local community investing in us allows us to continue to invest in those businesses and brands. I would even say Nubian Human, for example, in the 9 years that we've been open, we've been able to invest $2.7 million in Black-owned businesses. So every time a customer purchases from us, we've been able to work with a Black T-shirt printer, a Black photocopy company, a Black photographer. Our accountant is Black. Our marketer is Black. Like, every time that you make that purchase, the extension, it goes so much further than when you go off to the bigger or mass retailer.
Steve,
Bomonte,
yep, go right ahead.
If I could just jump in.
Sure.
What she just said about hiring locally, I just have to underscore it, because with more and more disparity awareness coming out, and we're seeing more and more who are at the bottom of so many of these studies, whether it's education, incarceration, home ownership, wealth, or whatever, the people that are the most challenged to navigate our society, to navigate capitalism, and to recover from tough things in life, it is Black-owned businesses that are giving them their next best opportunity in life. If you're a returning citizen, if you're someone who's had a substance abuse history, if you are underskilled or undereducated, it's not government. It's not corporate. It's not philanthropic. It's Black-owned businesses that are giving these young men and women their next best opportunity in life. And so to your point about, are we obligated to support? We are not only obligated. It is in our self, family, and community interest that we support these businesses.
Well, in our last few minutes, I want to give both of you an opportunity for our listeners, because oftentimes, you know, they want to know, how do we get in touch with these folks? How do we learn more about their organization? And so, Steve, if folks, you have a wealth of experience in community economic development. So what would be your suggestion for folks to either learn more, contact you, resources that you would recommend that they dive into, especially if they're looking to start a business or get more information, as you've talked about extensively tonight?
I would just say connect with CNHED. We are a broad-based coalition of 95 nonprofits and 60 mission-driven for-profits. And between our network, we have the collective expertise to help anyone with pretty much any venture they want to pursue. And so I would just give you our website, which is cnhed.org. Again, cnhed.org. My contact information is there. My team's contact information and the programs and services that we offer are listed on the website.
And must you be a district resident to tap into these programs and the expertise that folks with the organization can offer?
Some of them, our focus is the District of Columbia, but some of our member organizations work the entire DMV, some of them even nationally. But we will help anyone who comes our way. So even though we're a district-based organization, if you knock on our door and say, this is what I need, this is what I need to get connected to, we will connect and refer anyone from anywhere.
All right. As we wind down, Anika, very quickly, can folks go to your website and learn more information about you and your business?
Yes, absolutely. And I just want to piggyback very quickly. I've actually had the opportunity of to meet Stephen. He actually sat on the couch in our store and literally handed me his card, and his team reached out to me. So I just want to co-sign on what CNHED does. But they can reach us online at NubianHuman.com. You can also reach us, same thing, on social media as well. But you can also visit our store located in Baltimore, Maryland, on 211 West Reed Street. And also look out for our app that is coming soon, which is in the Google Play Store, and it's also in the App Store as well.
Anika Hobbs, owner of Nubian Human, and Steve Glaude, president and CEO of Coalition of Nonprofit Housing and Economic Development. Thank you both so much for being part of our conversation tonight.
Thank you so much
for having us.
You're welcome. That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, December 28th. I'm Bramante Bryan in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.